Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4 this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. It has been a great blessing to be here. Thank you so much, Dr. Mitchell, for the invitation to come and to be able to preach. And I thank you for your kindness and your care for my family and I. Unfortunately, we have to leave after the morning service and get back to our evening service tonight. And I'm going to miss hearing Brother Wagner and Brother Allison. I'm going to miss all of that. And I know Chris is preaching the graduation. But we will pray. We will listen online and trust God for His goodness. And I'm thankful my wife was able to speak. And I know in our church, the ladies have told me, they've said, "Pastor, we'd rather hear your wife than you." And I say, "I would rather hear my wife than me too, you know." And she's a blessing. The Lord has blessed her and enabled her, and very, very thankful for that. Well, this morning I want to bring a subject that I believe is needful in my own personal life, and I pray that God can use this in your own life. But I want to preach to you this morning on questions about contentment. Questions about contentment. In fact, I believe that one of the greatest ways to learn contentment is to ask the right questions. Have you ever looked back on your life and recognized that for many times in your life, you were very discontent? I can look back on my teenage years and I remember being discontent, to be very honest with you, discontent with my mom and dad. It's almost as if I remember having a friend that my friend, one time I had him over and, boy, he just raved about my mom and dad. "I wish I had parents like you." And I was thinking, "I wish I had parents like him." Is it not sad that we are always looking for something that we think will satisfy us? In fact, contentment is an issue that must be dealt with constantly in our life. And as we think of this matter of being discontent, it is possible even for a pastor to be discontent, not satisfied with what God has provided us. I know of marriages where the husband, he's not satisfied with his wife, and she is not satisfied with him. I know of marriages, I've had people come and meet with me to say, "Pastor, I married the wrong person." And really what they are saying is, "I have not found the contentment in my spouse that God never intended for me to find." Because may I say to you today, sir and ma'am, your spouse is not your savior. They are wonderful and it is a blessing. My wife and I have been married 25 years and she's the best friend that I have on earth. And I would rather be with her than anybody else in this world. But I must know and understand that Jesus is the only one who satisfies. Contentment and peace and joy and the soul satisfaction is found only in Christ. May God help us today and teach us this great lesson. We come to Philippians chapter 4, and let us begin in verse number 10, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4, and let me back up. Let me begin in verse number 1, if you would allow me to do that. Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This morning, questions about contentment. Let's begin a word of prayer this morning. Would you join me? Father in heaven, I thank you for these great people here today. I thank you for the pastors that are represented here. And Lord, thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I'm aware that all of us have needs today. Lord, I do not know those needs. But I pray that your Spirit would touch our hearts today, that you would illuminate the Word of God to us, that you would give us understanding, and that, Father, you would touch our hearts and convict us. But Lord, I pray that you would not just convict us, but you would convince us of the truth today and bring the comfort of thy Spirit. Lord, I need you today. And Lord, I know that in my own life, this has been a matter of where I've needed your help and I have failed often. But Lord, I pray that we would be men and women and young people of contentment. Guide us today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I believe all of us understands that we live in a world that breeds discontentment. I think we understand that. The commercials, the attitude of life, the merchandising scheme of today is that what you have is not sufficient. You need something else. And that is bred within the heart of man, that we think if we get something more, if we get something else, then finally we will reach that place of contentment, that place of happiness, that place of joy. I can remember being in college, and I thought for a while I was just going to be a bachelor to the rapture. You know, God had mercy on my soul, and I claimed often, God, it is not good for man to be alone. And I remember during that time of praying and waiting, I just thought, if I can just get married, that'll be it. And then after you get married, you think, well, if I can just have children, that will be it. And then after you have children, you think, if I can get rid of these kids, then I'll be happy, all right? And then if we're not careful, then if I have grandkids, then I'll be happy. And then if I can retire, then I'll be happy. It is almost as if the heart of man naturally seeks after something more. We seek something else. We are always looking for something more. If I can get to this place, if I can arrive at this level of financial security, then finally I will be content. You see, some people are constantly on that search. They change jobs. They are constantly relocating, always unsettled, always discontent in their heart. And by the way, much of our envy and much of our jealousy toward other people is really just a matter of discontentment. Really, discontentment is saying before God, God, I am not pleased what you have chosen for me. I need something more. You see, discontentment is really a sin in the eyes of a holy God. I want to begin this morning by, number one, let's ask the first question, what is contentment? What it really is. Now, contentment is not passivity. Contentment is not saying, well, I am just content to be a weak and a sleepy Christian, as we heard last night. That is not contentment. Contentment is not saying, well, I am just content to be this kind of person, and I know I've got besetting sins, but I'm just content to live in my sin. That is not contentment. You see, contentment is, I believe, when we become convinced in our hearts and minds that our resources in Jesus Christ are far more than adequate to deal with every situation in life. Contentment is not that the sun is shining. Contentment is not that the bills are paid. Contentment is not that I have a great wife or a great husband and we are happily married and we've got wonderful children. That is not contentment, because if that is true, none of us will ever be content. You see, really the ideal of contentment is soul rest. there is a rest within our soul. There have been times in my own life when I am restless. And can I tell you something? It is often because I am discontent about God's choice in my life. You see, Paul said that he learned contentment. And the idea of the word learned there was that he learned by experience. I can remember years ago, and we were on a farm in Tennessee, and I was with some friends. I'll never forget that they had had a windstorm, and I was over on their farm, and we were picking up all the sticks. And the only reason we picked up the sticks is because the dad of the young man that was my friend promised that we would have a bonfire, and we'd do all kinds of things like that. And fires and boys, that just goes together, you know. And I kind of thought, let me in on that, you know. So we were picking up these sticks. Man, we had this piled up, and the dad had told us. He said, "Boys, now look. Well, I'll come and start the fire. Don't you start the fire." Well, you know, boys, I mean, we're just trying to be proactive a little bit or something. And, well, we found gasoline, all right? Now, let me tell you something. At that point in my life, I did not understand the fumes and all the things that go with gasoline. Then we doused it with gallons and gallons of gasoline. And then my friend said, "Hey, Aaron, you want to light it?" I said, "Yeah, let me light it, all right?" Man, looking back on it, I should have recognized that when they stepped back, that I was going to light it. Well, they tricked me. I walked up to that thing and lit that, and it exploded. And let me tell you something. I took off running. I've never ran as fast as my life. But can I tell you what it did? It burnt off my eyebrows. I'm going to tell you something. You need eyebrows. It looks better with eyebrows. It singed all of my hair. I mean, it was permanent hairspray, brother. It was over. And I was on fire, not literally, but I was hurt. I was burning. Can I tell you something? From that day forward, I learned by experience, all right? Gasoline has fumes. Paul is stating here that he has learned by experience. In fact, this word contentment has the idea of the word contained. The ideal, as Paul is saying here, with Jesus Christ and in Christ, I have everything that I need contained in Jesus Christ. There is nothing on the outside that I need to be content in Jesus Christ. You see, he was saying, I am contained. I am content in Christ. We think about Paul, and over the course of Paul's life, he was imprisoned. Paul was stoned. Paul was beaten. Paul was persecuted. Paul was forsaken by his friends. You talk about being misunderstood. Paul knew what it was to be misunderstood. You talk about a man who had invested his life in the lives of others and they turned their back on Paul. Paul knew what that was like. Paul understood something, and he says, through all the course of my life, I have learned to be content. It's by experience. You see, Paul knew that his contentment did not lie in what he could find or what might happen to him through the circumstances of life. Paul was saying that who he was in Jesus Christ, that Christ, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Paul says there is contentment there. There is soul rest. In fact, sadly, there are many Christians today who so strongly desire more and more in this world that they begin to look outside of the resources in Christ. They look outside of the treasures in Jesus Christ, and they try to find these treasures of the world that are no treasures. And the Bible says that they will pierce themselves through with many sorrows because they are not content. In fact, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious spirit that submits to what God has brought into our life, and we understand that He is our Father, we are His child, and we are just content in Jesus Christ. In fact, do you know that contentment is rooted not in one's self-sufficiency, but it is rooted in the sufficiency of God. And 2 Corinthians talks about that our sufficiency is of God. He is sufficient. What is He sufficient for? Everything in life, every trial in life, He is sufficient. In fact, God had told Paul with his thorn in the flesh. We don't really know what that thorn might have been. Many Bible commentators believe that it was Paul's eyesight. In fact, One time he talked about a church that he said, if it were possible, you would have plucked your own eyes out for me. I personally believe it was Paul's eyesight. And can you imagine an evangelist, a preacher, a missionary that is struggling with his eyesight, and he besought the Lord three times and he said, God, please remove this thorn. And you know what the Lord said to him? No, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And brethren, I know how Paul thinks, because we think the same way, do we not? God, if you could take care of this one thing in my church. Lord, if you could take care of this one church member in my church. Lord, if you could rid him. You know, the problem is we think we get rid of that one and then three more come in their place, you know. And we think, Lord, that's the it. That's it right there. I could be sufficient. I could be happy, Lord, if that one thing would take place. Lord, if the issue of my health would take place. God, if you could heal that, then I would be content. But Paul is saying, God, remove this thorn. And the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. What you find in Jesus Christ is more than enough. Amen. Brethren, discontentment, and I believe that we are all guilty of discontentment. I remember one day, and you know, by the way, my wife's not a preacher, but well, I'll tell you, she has some good messages for me from time to time, you know. And there's been often that my wife has lovingly said to me, honey, why are you not happy? She asked me questions. I don't like those questions, you know. I just want to be unhappy, you know. But she asked me questions that get to the heart of the issue. Why am I not satisfied? Why am I not happy? Well, can I tell you, discontentment really means that we have abandoned our view of God and His sufficiency. It also means that we have abandoned a biblical response to the God who has brought everything into our life for a purpose. In fact, the Bible says here, as we look back in verse number 12 of Philippians chapter 4, what did Paul say? He says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere and in all things. Look at this. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Paul is saying there, God has had this path for me, a path of maybe being hungry, a path of maybe being full, and God has instructed me in this. This is a part of God's plan, and this is the sovereignty of an almighty God, that He has not forsaken me. Paul learned contentment knowing this is the appointment of God. And brethren, what is really contentment? You know that contentment frees you to enjoy every good thing that God has given to you. You know, contentment demonstrates our belief that God loves you and has your best interest in mind. Brethren, Paul was content not because Paul was resting in his circumstances, not because Paul's life was perfect, because it was far from that, but Paul was content because the Lord was his portion and he found Jesus to be totally satisfying in his life. What is contentment? But secondly, let's ask us the question, am I a discontent Christian? Am I discontent? Would you take your Bibles this morning and let us go to the Old Testament to a passage of Scripture that I think will help us, Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter 10, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 33. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33, are we discontent? Now, reminds me of the boy that was praying one day and he was asking God for $100. I mean, he was praying, he was trusting, and then the boy decided that he would write a letter to God. In his simplicity, he wrote a letter telling God that he would love to have $100, that he needed $100. Well, the post office got the letter addressed to God, and for some reason, they forwarded it on to the White House. And sure enough, the White House opened the letter, and such a sweet letter of a boy that was requesting from God $100. Well, the president at the time was so impressed by that, he told the secretary, he said, hey, put $5 and put it in that envelope and send it to that boy. We're going to give that boy some money. Sure enough, the boy got it and opened it up, and he was so happy. And the boy received his $5, but he wrote a letter back to God. And he said, dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Washington, and as usual, they kept most of it, you know? Well, it's easy to be discontent, is it not? It's easy to find something to complain about. And by the way, let's just be honest this morning. Our criticism of spiritual authority, young people, our criticism of our spouse, our discontentment with our children, our complaining about our circumstances, our murmuring about the circumstances of life is really comes back to, I am discontent with God. And that's where we need to get to the heart of the matter. Am I discontent? You see, the heart of the issue today is if you are not satisfied in what God has provided with you, you almost think God has not been fair to you. God has not been as good to you as He could have been. It is a matter of discontentment with God. Now, we come to Numbers chapter 10, and I just want you to see something here this morning that I think is very interesting. History does often repeat itself. The children of Israel were known for their murmuring spirit. And by the way, before we think that it's not a big ideal, can I tell you something? They did not go into the promised land because of their faithlessness, but God judged them because of their murmuring. In fact, do you remember when God sent those fiery serpents among them and they were biting the people and the people were dying? It was because they had murmured against God. God dealt severely with their murmuring spirit. In fact, remember 3 days after the great praise service that they had after the parting of the Red Sea and the dead bodies of those Egyptian soldiers washed up on the shore. You remember they were thanking God. They were praising God. But 3 days later, you know what they're doing? Murmuring. They're complaining that there is no water. Look what God has done for them. And now we find that now they are complaining here again after leaving Sinai. The Jews complained once again. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33. Let's look at this. The Bible says, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Verse chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And can I stop right there and say this? When I complain, it always displeases the Lord. When we complain, it displeases the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside the manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child into the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give on to all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. If I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Is it not interesting that the people complained? The people said, God, all you've given to us is this manna. Brethren, do you know that we really don't even know what manna is? I grew up when my mama would make banana pudding. My dad would say, now, boy, that's manna right there. Now, I don't think that that was manna, but it sure tasted good. But can I tell you this? This manna, it came from God. It was not made of man. It was a great sign of the Word of God that God has given to us. And God gave them manna, and yet they said that our soul is so empty, there is nothing left for us here. And because of their people's murmuring and complaining, it even got to Moses, to where now Moses is complaining. Now Moses is displeased, and Moses is almost accusing God because of the people's accusations. Brethren, today, are we discontent? Am I a discontent Christian? You see, our tendency is to look for things that will bring some sense of satisfaction. And I have a question for you this morning that, may I ask you a question? What is the one thing that is keeping you from true joy? How would you fill in the blank this morning? I will be happy when, whatever it may be. You answer the question. Because, brethren, if the question is a move, if the question is a spouse, if the question is a child, if the question is some type of monetary gain, if the question for you is, Pastor, I will be content when this takes place, then I'm sad to tell you that you will never be content. Because anything, any answer outside of Jesus Christ and His soul satisfaction that we find in Jesus, we will never be content. Brethren, you see, contentment is always a matter of the heart. We find the children of Israel that they were grumbling, that they were complaining, that they were whining. There was a thanklessness about them. Listen, it was not because of their circumstances. It was because of what was in their heart. You see, we often think, boy, I tell you, my circumstances are so bad, and the things of my life are so bad, and I'm just not happy. No, I'm sorry, that's not really why. It is because you do not think Christ is enough. You do not think that there is satisfaction in Jesus. Our heart is so prone to forget God's blessings. Brethren, many of us have forgotten what God has done for us in the past. And by the way, can I tell you, I remember the disciples when they went out preaching on their preaching journey and they came back and they were talking about how that the demons are even subject to them and people are being healed. And Jesus said, listen, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice that you're a part of the family of God. And brethren, if all we had, and I know we even say that, but brethren, knowing Jesus is everything, but if God never did anything good for us from this day forward, we should rejoice throughout all of eternity because Jesus is enough. May God help us today to understand that often we are discontent. I remember years ago being in my study and reading in Numbers. And the Spirit of God dealt with me in my study and showed me my complaining spirit, showed me my murmuring heart, showed me how unthankful that I was to God and for His goodness in my life, and how I was searching for something more and something better and something that would truly satisfy. And the Lord dealt with me because, brethren, contentment is always an inside job. It is a matter of the heart, and it deals with our heart issue. We are so prone to forget God's blessing. We are so prone to ignore God's promises. Brethren, do you know that the Bible is a promise book given to us? I know that we have to adequately to study to show thyself approved unto God. But brethren, God's Word is our promise book. But we often find fault with God's providence in our life. Brethren, do you know that murmuring is really finding fault with God? Murmuring is really saying, God, you've not treated me fairly. God, you've not been as good to me. And by the way, all of our competition often and all of our comparison that we compare, you know what? It's even easy for a preacher to look at another pastor's church and think, man, I sure would like to have a church like that. It's easy to look at a marriage and say, well, I wish my marriage was like that. I wish my husband treated me that way. I wish my wife treated me that way. I wish my parents did that for me. I wish I could have that. I wish I had this ability. I wish I had their looks. We're not content in God's providence in our life. In fact, you know something about complaining? Complaining does not seem to be serious to too many people. I've been a pastor just for 13 years, but I'll tell you something. I've never had someone come to me and sit in my office and say, preacher, I have a problem with complaining. Would you help me? I've just never had anybody do that. In fact, I don't think there's a Complainers Anonymous out there in a 12-step program to get rid of complaining, because we just don't think that it is that serious. But brethren, may God help us that our discontentment is a problem. Brethren, do you understand that all that God has, He has promised in Jesus Christ unto you? In fact, the Bible says that He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That this morning, you have all of Jesus that you will ever need, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And brethren, the truth is, it is not that God is trying to give us more of Him. He's given us all of Him, but He wants us to give more of ourselves. In fact, you know that really contentment is a matter of surrender. Brethren, if we fail to surrender to God, I promise you this, you will forever be discontent. Now, you know what? Often we think of surrender as, Lord, I surrender to do whatever you want me to do with my life. And that is a part of our surrender. But surrender is accepting and being grateful for what God has brought into your life. My father grew up in an unsaved home, and they were first-generation Christians. But my dad developed polio just a few months before the polio vaccine came out. My dad still to this day walks with a limp. My dad grew up in an unsaved home. His own father was a very immoral, very wicked man. I'm thankful he came to know Jesus Christ right before he passed away. But my dad grew up in a home where his own father made fun of him, and because of his disability and all of that. And you know something? My dad could have lived a bitter life. My dad, in the world standards, had every reason to live a bitter life. But my dad came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And can I tell you, when my dad came to know Christ, he found contentment in Jesus. Brethren, can I say this to you today? Our surrender to God is really the great heart issue of our contentment. I remember I came to know Christ as my Savior at the age of 17, and God began to work in my heart, and I surrendered my life to do whatever God wanted me to do. But I can remember that I argued with God about preaching. And I said, God, I don't want to preach. Lord, I don't like to stand in front of people. Lord, you've seen me in speech class, and it's bad. It's not a good idea. And I remember arguing with God in my heart and wrestling with God. There's lots of other people better than this. Lord, I don't want to be a bad testimony for you. And I remember it came to a point of just surrender. Yes, Lord, if this is what you have called me to do, I am content in what you have brought me to be. Lord, I'm content. Lord, I yield to this. And what about the circumstances? I remember years ago, my wife and I were going through something our kids didn't even know about. And can I tell you what I was doing? I was fighting against it. So often when something comes in our life, we're going to fight it. We're going to make this happen. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to work this out. I'm going to make this what it needs to be. And it was not working. And my wife looked at me one day and she said, honey, accept what God has brought. And I didn't like that. I didn't want to accept what God had brought. I didn't want to allow it into my life. I was resisting what God had brought. Now I can look back and think that was one of the greatest things that God ever allowed into my life. But I resisted that. And really, contentment is a surrender to the will of God. It is a surrender to the appointments of God. It is a surrender to the troubles and the trials that Paul said that we are appointed unto. Oh, may God help us today. Are you discontent? In fact, do you know something about discontent people? They always deceive themselves. Now, let's go back to Numbers, and I want you to notice this, because Dr. Mitchell talked about having spiritual sight. But brethren, do you know that when we are discontent, we are blind to the goodness of God? we take the children of Israel, here they are in the wilderness, and I mean, they had begged God to get them out of Egyptian bondage. They had cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. But you know as much as I know that they were complained in Egypt, and God sent Moses. They complained about Moses. God delivered them from Egypt land. And what did they do? Complain. They murmured. They griped. They whined because they deceived themselves. Do you know what we do? We deceive ourselves. The Bible says that, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He's blind to the goodness of God. Look what the Bible says about these children of Israel. And the Bible goes on in Numbers chapter number 11, and it says in verse number 5, it says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Is that really true? They were free? No, they were not free. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And I want you to see very clearly that the vision of complainers is always distorted. The vision, the sight, their perspective on the past, their perspective on the present was distorted. Now, this golden age was now, oh, I remember Egypt. Oh, we had such melons and we had such lavish fruit and we ate it freely. Now we're in bondage. It's kind of like I've heard older people talk about the good old days. The problem is when they were going through the good old days, they didn't think they were the good old days. Now they look back and say, I don't like this generation. I don't like this society. I wish I lived back in another time. And brethren, if we are not careful, we can be discontent Christians that we're always looking in the past. We're always looking at our circumstances through distorted vision, and we're not grateful for the blessing of God. Brethren, and I encourage you to enjoy the journey that you're on right now. Because right now is really great. You know, our children were young, and my wife and I enjoyed those days, but those days did not last. I remember coming home, and boy, my kids, I'd have one on each leg trying to get through the house, you know? And I remember sitting on the refrigerator on the top. My wife didn't like that. All right, go ahead and jump off. I tried to do that with Caleb, but he just won't do it now, you know? And I don't think he thinks I'll catch him. But you know what? We enjoyed that journey. We have enjoyed the journey of teenagers. We still have one in our home. We've enjoyed the journey of our kids being in college. But there's more of the journey to come. Enjoy the phase of life that God has brought you to. We should look back on the past with gratitude and with rejoicing in the Lord, because we are often very distorted in our vision when we are discontent. Brethren, may God help us to see that we are often discontent. Thirdly and lastly, not only what is contentment and are you a discontent Christian, but thirdly and lastly, what is the secret of contentment? Let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter number 13, if you would please. Hebrews chapter number 13, and I want you to notice something. I truly, with all my heart, want to be a content Christian. But I want to be honest before you today that I've had to confess the sin of ingratitude and complaining more than I would like to admit. I have had to confess this before God much in my life, to where we're not satisfied with what God has placed us in. We're not grateful for the provision and the blessing of God. I said it earlier, but I can remember times sitting in my office and the husband or the wife looks at me and says, I married the wrong person. And I thought to myself, I cannot even believe you're saying that in the presence of your spouse, but I cannot believe that you are saying that in the presence of an almighty God. What you are saying really is God made a bad choice for my life, and I'm not happy with God. There are some Christians, you're just not happy with God. You are discontent with what God has brought into your life. And brethren, if you would understand that He is the loving Heavenly Father, He is affectionate towards you. He knows what is best for you in your life. He is working all things together for our good. The secret of contentment, what is it? We come to Hebrews chapter 13, and let us begin in verse number 5. The Bible says, let your conversation, that means your manner of life, it includes our words, but let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5 the phrase, he has said. And then I want you to notice in verse 6 that we may boldly say. Do you know so often a matter of our contentment is that we do not agree with what God has said. You see, the Bible says here, it says that he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is Jesus not enough for you? He has said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I am with you. You can call unto me and I will answer thee. I am the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I am with you. I will protect you. I will guide you. But is that not enough? Over 25 years ago, my wife and I took our honeymoon, and I thank God for that. And we went to Charleston, South Carolina in July, a very cool month there, all right? It was hot. I'll never forget, I had worked hard to save so that we could have a special honeymoon together. And I'll never forget, a few days into our honeymoon, we went and stayed in a different place. And we walked in, and it was a beautiful place. And I was talking about, look, honey, look at this. Look at the view. And look how beautiful this room is. And then the next thing I know, my bride of just a few days is crying. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not good. Not good at all. And I'm thinking, what did I not do? What did I not provide? And I came over to her. I said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, honey, I don't want you to be excited about the things. I just want you to be excited about me. And I said, good, we're leaving this place, all right? I'm going to get you another place, all right? But can I tell you something? I'll never forget that day because my wife was saying, honey, it's not our circumstances. It's not where we are staying. It is that we are together. And brethren, I am convicted in my own heart that so often I have said, in contradiction to what God has said, I need something more. I need something else. Lord, you're just not enough. We would never say that because it sounds blasphemous to say it. But we live that way. The very characteristic of our life is that he is just not enough. That I need something more. Brethren, I want you to know today that our life should be characterized. The conversation of our life is without covetousness. That we just have to have something more. That something else will satisfy. And then we're on the hunt for something more. But what are you speaking today? Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Brethren, can I tell you something? That is more than enough. Is that he is my friend, that he is my Savior, that he loves me, that he cares for me. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. You know, we love him because he first loved us. It is Christ's love for me, as Paul said, that has constrained me, has gotten such a hold of me that I want to live for him. And I personally believe that Paul's contentment was the love of Christ had constrained him. God loves me so much. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you see what and I personally, Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and that Paul is saying here, what are we saying? Brother, what are you saying with the characteristics of your life? Is your life, is the conversation of your life characterized by covetousness that you want something more? You've got to have something more. Something else will satisfy. But brethren, when our life is characterized by the very thought that Jesus is enough, I have found satisfaction in Christ. I need nothing else. You remember the Son of God, when the disciples went to go get meat to eat, and Jesus had obeyed the will of his Father. They came back and Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. Can I tell you what it was? It was the fulfillment of his heart of obeying his heavenly Father. And brethren, let me tell you something this morning. If you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. Amen. Brethren, I'll tell you today, we ought to confess our discontentment before a holy God, our murmuring, our complaining, our critical spirit, our judgmental heart. The story is told of an old man who had only one son. He loved his son, but his son was a pilot that was killed, shot down and killed in World War II. Eventually, this wealthy old man died as well. Now, the man had no heirs, and yet his estate was to be auctioned off. And by the way, this man had quite an estate of famous, very expensive paintings there in London. People knew about this man's paintings and they were worth untold thousands of dollars. So when the announcement of the auction came, people from all over the country came because they wanted to bid on these famous art paintings. And the auctioneer came up and put a portrait on an easel that was right in front of everybody. And it was a picture of the man's son, the World War II pilot. And according to the will, this had to be auctioned off first. Well, you can imagine the art people that were there, they just wanted to get rid of that. Come on, let's get on to the main things. Let's get on to something more. But there was an old man in the back who was a very dear friend to this other man who had died. And that man thought in his heart, boy, I tell you, I may be able to get that. That's not going to go. Nobody was bidding on the picture of the man's son. And he thought, that would mean something to me. I could put it up in my home. So he bid and he won that picture of the man's son. And as soon as he came to collect it, the auctioneer got back up and said, folks, the auction is finished. And the people were appalled. And the people were like, what is going on? We have come here to bid on these great paintings. And he said, well, I'm sorry. I have to obey the will of this Father. And the will of the Father said, whoever gets the painting or the portrait of the Son gets everything else. Can I tell you something this morning? If you know Jesus, you have everything. If you have Jesus this morning, you have a friend that will stick closer to you and a brother, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This morning, you have a Savior. He's not just the Savior of your past sins, brother. He's the Savior for each and every day of your life to give you victory over your sin. And brethren, we have everything in Jesus Christ. Let us be content Christians. Let us be Christians. The Bible goes back in Philippians. I won't for time's sake go there, but it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We ought to rejoice as God's people. We ought to begin our prayer time rejoicing in the Lord and who He is, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We rejoice in who the Lord is because that will never change. The Bible goes on to talk about that we are to pray in everything. Give thanks. Listen, there ought to be prayer and supplication. And then it goes into our minds about how we think. Brethren, today, I want to be a Christian who is content in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today. I do not know about your life this morning, but I know of mine that I am convicted about my discontentment. I am convicted about a murmuring spirit, a complaining heart? And how many would be honest with me today and raise your hand and say, God has spoken to me this morning about my discontentment with the Lord? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? God has dealt with me. Well, brethren, what we ought to do is to confess our sins because He is faithful and just to forgive us. But let us recognize and rest in the Lord who is everything. Let's stand together, would you please? I'd like to pray and then let's respond. Father in heaven, we all need you today because God, we are often say what you are not saying. We are living in a way that we are just not content. God, do your work in our hearts today. Forgive us of our discontent spirit. And Lord, may we learn, as Paul did, a life of contentment. Help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.